Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God our Creator, children all are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. And the words of the song go on. This is one of my favorite songs. It makes me feel good. I've known it since I was a young child. I could sing it in my sleep. We sang it together to begin worship today. And it fits with my deepest desires for peace and harmony and unity. And yet, in so many ways, the song gets it wrong. Yes, you heard me right. It gets it wrong. Because with its beautiful tune and the way it turns our hearts to hopeful mush, it forgets to remind us that peace is rarely easy. It forgets to remind us that peace takes work. It forgets to remind us that often peace only comes after a hard-fought journey. It forgets to remind us that peace is rarely a destination at which we arrive and remain, but more often a journey of steps and missteps, progress and backsteps. Peace, that thing for which we long, that thing we glimpse on quiet beaches and mountaintop hikes, that thing we seek in the midst of the busyness and noise and rush of our days. Peace is something we want, but that we're rarely able to be honest about. And so into our conversation comes Jesus, the one we have called Prince of Peace. And in this passage from Luke's Gospel, we hear him declaring, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." And when we hear this, most of us barely recognize our Jesus. In fact, we would largely prefer not to read this text at all. After all, we like Jesus who gently holds the baby lamb or who welcomes the children. We like Jesus who brings everyone together rather than setting people against each other. But in this picture, Jesus says something very different. So rather than ignoring it or denying it, let's explore this together. Perhaps we are well served by remembering that by this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. He's on the road toward the cross. In fact, it's been a few chapters back. It was back in Luke 9:51 that we read the words, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face toward Jerusalem." And so, we must not lose sight of the reality that everything Jesus does from that point forward is done in the shadow of the cross. It's done as he moves closer to his death. But what does this mean for this passage? Well, first, it reminds us that the stress of which Jesus speaks in verse 50 isn't about stress or anxiety as we commonly think of it, but rather it highlights how totally absorbed in the mission that he has come to accomplish Jesus is. And it is that mission, the mission of redirecting people toward love of God and love of neighbor, that has Jesus focused and ready even to risk relationships in order to accomplish it. See, too often we read this passage and we respond by saying simply that following Jesus broke up families because some became part of the movement we later come to call Christianity, while others remained Jewish. While there were certainly families that were broken apart because of religious commitments then, just as there are now, these words from Jesus are not simply directed toward those who come from divided families. These are also not words that give us permission to give up on difficult relationships with mother-in-laws or some other family member. These aren't words that are to be understood as a reason to say good riddance to that person you wish wasn't at family dinner anyway. Rather, these words and the reality to which Jesus spoke, it's about something much broader. It's about the willingness to risk the impression of peace. The willingness to risk relationships, not because we are fine without them, but because we are choosing something more important. It is not really about giving up peace, but it is about choosing God's peace, which is much more challenging. After all, as Richard P. Carlson writes, the peace that Jesus inaugurates involves the proper establishment of relationships of mercy, compassion, and justice between God and humanity. Not everyone, however, wants or welcomes this divine peace plan. In other words, for peace, there has to be justice, and there is work to do to get there. This is not just a passive ride. See, the reality is that all too often we call peace, what we call peace, is really just us putting up a fake front, putting on a false smile. All too often, our peace is about pretending to like somebody in order to not fight in front of the family. All too often, our peace is about allowing people to be unkind or bigoted or cruel so as not to cause a fuss. All too often, our peace is about keeping ourselves comfortable rather than having difficult conversations. All too often, our peace is a product of our privilege. It is an option we have because we can walk away from someone's rudeness or prejudice and be largely unaffected by it. But the peace to which Jesus calls us isn't about being safe and comfortable, but is about standing up for the rights of those whose rights are in question or are being taken away. The peace to which Jesus calls us isn't about our choice to walk away from a conversation, but is about fighting for the rights of all people. The peace to which Jesus calls us is that which comes by way of justice, that which is the result of everyone starting from a level playing field and our willingness to name the truth of an unlevel one. This passage uses the example of family relationships, but it's not just about family relationships. Rather, this image is used because Jesus's culture understood the family to be the building block for society, the place one's identity came from. To risk family was not something that people around Jesus did easily, because those relationships were central to every other aspect of their lives. So family here is a metaphor for what matters most. And in this passage, Jesus is asking us if we are willing to risk what matters most in order to be on God's side, in order to be on the right side of human history, in order to fight for the rights of those who are without. He asks if we are willing to risk what matters most, to give up things we value in order to bring justice for another. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? Jesus asks, and he answers his own question. No, I tell you, but rather division. Again, this isn't division that comes because we didn't get our own way or we don't like a person's personality or choices. Rather, Jesus is working for something bigger and asks us to do the same. Jesus is telling us we must be willing to risk our own reputations to stand up for the rights of another. Jesus is telling us we must be willing to risk the things that we have accumulated in order to care for one who is without. Jesus is telling us we must be willing to risk the very relationships in our lives in order to speak truth when truth is difficult. How many times have we asked people who were oppressed to be quiet because we were uncomfortable when we started listening to their complaints? Because we felt like our peaceful lives were being disrupted by the truth they spoke about a system in which we have succeeded. We hold people in inhumane conditions at the borders because our lives are easier if we don't let them in, if we don't share our resources with them. We watch black men being shot at exponentially higher rates than white men, but we push back against the cry of racism because we don't want to have to deal with our own part in it or what it means for systems we participate in to be identified as racist. We call names and stop buying products and refuse to give job opportunities to athletes who kneel during the anthem because we want to enjoy our peace as we watch them play rather than have our day disrupted by their critique of our country. We go to family dinners and laugh along as racist and sexist jokes are told because it's easier to keep the peace than to stand up for what is right. We don't often think of peace as a temptation, but it can be. The easy, uncritical peace that many of us have been raised to embrace tempts us daily. But when we give in, then we step away from the peace and justice to which Jesus points us. Too often, we call choosing our own comfort peace. Too often, we call feigning unity in order to avoid difficult conversations peace. Too often, we call keeping people in their place to avoid being honest about our own privilege peace. And yet Jesus calls us to something greater. See, it's not that he isn't the Prince of Peace. In fact, he is. But we will know Jesus's peace when our easy lives are made less comfortable. We will know Jesus's peace when justice reigns, not just for we who have always had it, but for people of color, for women in the workplace, for young people who are discovering who they are. Peace is more than a symbol or a word we put on our bumpers. It's more than a song that fills us with warmth. Peace, real peace, Jesus's peace is about risk and about justice and about compassion. It is about speaking truth when truth is difficult, and that is the peace to which we are called. That call begins with confession. So I invite us to pray together. And I invite you, when you hear me pray, we are tempted to choose an easy peace to respond, "Forgive us, O God." Let us pray. God, we desire peace, but too often we substitute security for peace. Too often we substitute comfort for peace. Too often we are willing to sacrifice your values for something that resembles calm but that is not actually peace. We are tempted to choose an easy peace. Forgive us, O God. God, we desire peace, but too often we sacrifice other people in order to have a pretend peace. Too often we don't stand up for injustice, don't speak out in the face of racism or sexism or other forms of bigotry. Too often we choose to not enter conflict, and we call that peace. We are tempted to choose an easy peace. Forgive us, O God. God, we get it wrong too often. And yet we pray together because we want to get it right. So give us the courage to speak a difficult word. Give us the willingness to set aside our comfort in order to stand as Jesus did for the least of your children and for the will of your heart. Amen.